church this morning for worship. Truly welcome you who are here, as well as those who are watching the streaming service. Again, Matt, thanks for coming and filling in this morning, and thanks for bringing your wife. Just a reminder for next week, we have Reverend Brian Hoffman here, one of our candidates, and we'll be serving a noon meal as well, so keep that on your calendar. And then the following week, Dan Walters will be here. We do have a couple of announcements. Prayer for Jan Hughes. She's still in a healing process, so sounds like she's doing better. Beyond that, we do have a council meeting tomorrow night. So with that, we'll start off with call to worship.
Psalm 98 is a great call to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right arm and his hand, try that again, his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp, and with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. when the people went to the tomb Easter morning, they found the stone rolled away, and there was a discussion of how that was going to happen and who was going to roll the stone away, because the women knew it's pretty heavy and protected by Roman guards and all of that. And yet, in the middle of that, they found the tomb empty and were greeted by angels who said, "He's not here, he's living." And that's why we're here today. That's why we're here in worship, is to be able to celebrate that, that Christ conquered the grave and sin and death and rose triumphantly, that you and I would be able to enjoy each other and worshiping our King and our God. So that's why we're here, and that's a good thing to remember today. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to greet each other. Hi, everybody. I forgot that. No.
Let's read the prayer of confession together as it's printed on the screen. Wondrous God, who took upon yourself flesh of our flesh in Jesus our brother, and being found in human form, made the ultimate disclosure of yourself in the face of Jesus Christ. How often we have forgotten you. How seldom have we really loved and followed you. Christ, have mercy on us. Wondrous God, who pours out freely the Holy Spirit, how have we ignored your promptings? How seldom have we asked for your help or accepted your gifts? Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.
And because of that, what we just read and shared together, we have that assurance of pardon. And that's a great gift. I hope that every time you're together in worship, every time you're remembering on your own with devotional stuff, that you are just grateful to God, who was able to love us enough that he gave salvation for us. So in Christ, we do have that assurance and God's blessing upon your life and mine. And that's a great thing. Amen. Thank you, praise team. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, I just want us to just spend just a few seconds just kind of thinking about praises and requests that you have maybe on your own list, people that are in need of prayer for healing or just in better health. Just want you to be able to do that and run through that kind of list that you have on your own. And then I'll lead us in prayer, and then we'll share together in the Lord's Prayer. Okay? So let's just be quiet before the Lord. Father, it's good for us to be still and to know that you're God. In the calmness of those few moments, just a few seconds, just to reflect on people around us that need your touch and your grace in their life, whether it's for healing or whether it's through just family tragedies or just difficult things maybe that happen in our life that we just sometimes are a little slow to speak about, and I'm not sure why, because we can come to you with anything. And so, Father, we do. We just bring our requests and our praises before you. Father, even in our moments of just quiet reflection, it was fun to hear the chatter of a small child. And you like us when we talk to you, when we come to you with our requests, when we come asking because you're the only one that can take care of the needs that we have. Whether it's physical or mental or spiritual or financial. God, you're the one who has the answers for us, and we're grateful that you take care of your children. Father, I just ask that you would be with this congregation as they're looking for a pastor to come and to help them and lead and love them. Father, that it would be the right family. It would be the right person. It would be the right mix for what this church needs right now. Father, you are good, and you're good all the time. And for that, we are so glad. And Father, I just pray that you continue to help us and watch over. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Scripture reading this morning that I want to share before the message is found in 1 Corinthians 3, starting with verse 5. It says this: "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through him who came to believe as the Lord had assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each would be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace of God that's given to me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building upon it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that's already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on the foundation using gold or silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. But he will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his full reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss, and he himself will be saved, but only as one who is escaping through the flames." Let's pray one more time, can we? Father, for this morning and for this church and these people who are gathered together, I'm grateful that we can share from your word and be encouraged. Father, help us as we continue to move forward and walk in the direction you would have us. And that would be with your word as a part of our life. And we're just thankful that it encourages us and gives us that light to our path. Father, I just ask that as we are sharing this morning together, you'd watch over us, be with the words that I have, that they would be from yours, your heart to ours, that we would be encouraged in our faith and walk stronger in it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about the church and your coming pastor. I know enough about the first to be not dangerous, but qualified to speak. And I know nothing about your pastor who's coming. But as a pastor, I can speak to that and maybe speak to you guys and some things that you're going through and thinking about and praying for. And so that'll be my purpose, is that we talk about at least two things: the church and ministry that happens within the church and beyond. Okay? And I don't know if you guys have like recently read the book of Acts, or remember shortly after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how literally the church was birthed and exploded in a really good way. But it's a pretty phenomenal story when you look at the whole Acts of the Apostles and the things that they did, the things that they were led to do by the Holy Spirit working in their life. Powerful. I mean, just dynamite. Just, I mean, 5,000 people are coming to know the Lord and people are being saved on a daily basis. And it's an incredible picture. And yet, if there's another side to that story, you and I also know there are sometimes things that happen in church that aren't so wonderful, aren't so great. Hopefully not here, but in other places I've heard of people being in such disarray and such disharmony, they fold their arms and they say, "Well, if you're not going to put the carpet this color, then I'm leaving." Really? You're going to fight about carpet this side of eternity? It's happened. Or there's people that sometimes think, and they're going to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts too in this message. Sometimes people think that the gift of grumbling or complaining is a spiritual gift. And I've read the scripture where gifts are listed, and those two are not there. Grumbling and complaining, they're like the ugly stepsisters of Cinderella. They're just not necessary, and they're pretty ugly. Okay? But in the church, for us to look at and be a part of that, man, I think the dynamic is awesome. And right now, I don't think the world is, but I think the hope is in Christ and in the church and in his kingdom and his bride and his people. And that was a long sentence, but that's all of you. That's all of us together. That is what we're supposed to be like and look like. And guess what? I've looked in scripture too, and we are supposed to be different than the world. Well, then somebody might raise their hand and say, "Well, did you know, Pastor, that the divorce rate in the church is the same as it is in the world?"
I answer that with maybe a tear in my eye and say, yeah, I do know that. I wish that weren't true. Or this one. Ready? I'm not perfect. What? Never have been, never will be, and the one that was, they put on a cross and he died for my sins. Now, when I say that, I also know, well, maybe for a couple of you that I've maybe met, you might be close to perfect. No, you're not. Thank you for laughter, because we are not. We are people that are saved by the wonderful grace of Jesus. That's it. But man, let me tell you about the church, because Jesus was pretty excited about it in his ministry. And I have a little bit of a confession. And we're going to talk about Peter's confession, so that's kind of cool that I have a confession. Honestly, gang, in my head, I didn't remember that the verses following after what Peter said about Jesus and what Jesus says about the church was in the same paragraph. I totally thought it was a different place. And you're thinking, what are you thinking about? I'll tell you. Because in Matthew chapter 16, there's this incredible passage of scripture that talks about what Peter and Jesus had in their dialogue. And let me just share that with you. In fact, I'll just go here. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That's the part I didn't remember, is the gates of Hades. Don't take that away, because I'm coming back to it. I didn't remember that the church, the kingdom, was in the confession of Peter. I just forgot. I thought it was somewhere different. It goes on, it says this, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by Father in heaven. And I tell you the truth, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That's the end of that one? Okay. I could have read it there almost. Well, I almost see good enough to see that screen other than that screen. Good to know. You also know that I don't see very well. It's all right. I was born that way. I don't know about anybody else, but I just came by it naturally. Here's what I want you to understand, and I think you get it. I think you understand where Jesus is coming from. When he talks to Peter, and hopefully this is not a newsflash, the church was not built on Peter. The church was built on what Peter said about Jesus, as in, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that rock, that foundation stone, is why Jesus came and established the church. So if Jesus says this about the church and about the kingdom and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it, newsflash, we're on the winning side. You've picked the right team. If you're walking with Christ and walking with him in a daily basis and have come to him for salvation, you're on the winning team. Doesn't matter what else happens, doesn't matter what else comes your way, doesn't matter what trials and struggles you go through, you, because of Christ, are on the winning team. And that's awesome. Well, the church is talked about a lot in the New Testament. I said the book of Acts, and it's really powerful in how it started and how things just really grew fast. I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of the letters that are written in the New Testament are written to churches. For 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Titus and Timothy, those have personal names on them. Book of James was written by James, a little bit different. But I'm telling you, the church says a lot, the scripture says a lot about the church. And there's two passages of scripture that I want to share just that are kind of my favorites. Maybe this week you can spend time in looking at the letters that Paul wrote to the churches. And if you want, you can look at Revelation, the first few chapters. The seven churches that are in Revelation, the church that we don't want to be like is Laodicea. Remember what happens with those guys? You're neither hot nor cold. I'll spew you out of my mouth. And if you look at the churches that talked about in the book of Revelation, they all have some things that they need to be working on. There's not one of those churches that are listed of the seven that are perfect. But Laodicea, man, different kind of Bill of Rights there. They were like, because you're neither hot nor cold and you don't stand for the truth, you don't stand for anything, Scripture says I'll spew you out of my mouth. And that's not the church that you and I want to be a part of, right? Right. That would be amen or a thumbs up, or if you're online, you hit the emoji that says, oh, smiley face, heart, right?
Here's something that I like. This is in 1 Corinthians. This is just the introduction to the letter to the church. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Samothrace, to the church of God in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy together with those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Here's the neat part, because when Paul writes to churches and he talks about this, he usually uses these words together a lot. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, there's another one about the church that I just want to share, and this is probably my favorite too. 1 Corinthians and in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 says this, Paul, an apostle sent not from men, nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and his all and brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And as I read that, I'm just thinking, you know what? That really sounds like it should be the church today. Written according to all those who've received from us and present the evil age, this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. Church, we've got a lot of things that we need to be doing, and a lot of things that we need to be doing well. And I know for you guys, it's been a little bit of a long haul not having a pastor. 8-ish months. And we can blame some of that on the pandemic. Okay? We really can. And I have a feeling that you're kind of anxious about whom will be coming in your presence and to serve with you. Notice I said serve with you. I didn't say serve you. I said serve with you. Because if you think ministry is all about the minister doing it all, you're in trouble. Okay? And listen, the scripture talks to us about having gifts, and we're going to get to that in a second. Just out of curiosity, does anybody here know what your spiritual gift is? Or have you ever taken a test? And it's okay that you don't, because sometimes in churches we don't talk like that. But the reason you were given a gift maybe different than mine is so we could better the body of Christ and then reach people that are outside of that body and bring them in to know Christ. And we're not all the same. And your pastor is not going to be the same. And get this ready. This is a little news flash from someone who's been a pastor for 30 plus years. Not everybody in this room or that's going to be coming into this room is going to really think he's the cat's meow. Some of you will go, I just don't get him. Well, that's okay. God gets him a lot and called him into service. And so you're just going to have to give grace and peace like Paul talked about when he's talking about the church. You as his people have to do the same thing. Maybe this is a little ahead of myself, but that's okay. Also this, please don't put your pastor on a pedestal. Because remember earlier when I first kind of started and said, I'm not perfect? He won't be either. And in that, there needs to be grace. And there might be times that your pastor disappoints you. Here's a little story from me. I started preaching at my home church when I was about sixth grade. Didn't preach every Sunday. Obviously, we had a full-time minister that did that. But through youth ministry and people involved in my life, I was sharing the Word of God at a pretty early age. And then I remember in high school, I was probably a senior, I preached a sermon, and I just thought to myself when I was done, I thought, man, that was awful. I didn't do what I thought I would and had studied for, and it just didn't go the way I planned, and it should have been better, and I was kind of kicking myself pretty hard. Well, as it was then, and maybe a little bit now, especially with a young guy learning ministry stuff, people were shaking my hand on the Sunday night service. Hey, you know, thank you. Two people back, three people back in line, there's this woman, and she's kind of crying, and she's upset. And she said, as she got to me, she said, Matt, I just need to tell you that what you said tonight really, really helped me because of what I was going through. Now, remember, I was just kicking myself going, oh, man, a terrible job. And I was a little frustrated with myself, a little bit disappointed. And then
through the Holy Spirit comes this woman who says, I needed what you said tonight. And here's what I decided a long time ago. In that I can work, or your pastor can work really hard at a message, and maybe it doesn't connect to everybody in the room. But if on that particular Sunday or midweek service, it connects to one person, and they're able to say through the power of the Holy Spirit that works within them, I needed what you said, then it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And really, as a young man, boy, that affected me, because I just thought then, Lord, it is not really up to me. It's not what I say. It's how you work in the words that are spoken, and you're going to use me. And I thought, Father, thank you. Thank you. So we were talking earlier, and I was asking you about spiritual gifts. They're important, and your pastor will want to know about them. And some of you, you may not be able to physically, oh, I know what my gift is. I can eat the most at potluck dinners. That also is not a spiritual gift. But you probably do know what you're good at and what you're gifted at from God, because it's what you normally use in amongst people. Some of you are really good at encouraging. I mean, if you see something and it's a disaster, you can find something good and wonderful about that, and you can speak truth to that person who made the disaster. You know, well, at least you didn't spill any paint on your clothes. That carpet that we were going to replace anyway and have a debate over, it's going to have to be replaced now anyway. It's good. But you probably do have an idea of what you're good at spiritually. And that's all it is in spiritual gifts. And the reason I say it would be important for you to know is because your pastor's going to want you to help him serve people. And he can't do it by himself. And if you try to help him do that or make him do that, you'll burn him out really short. It won't take very long, and he'll say, I just can't do it. So if you're already in the process of wanting to labor together with the family that's coming, man, that's awesome. How about this one? This one probably affects you more than the first question. Do you know what spiritual gifts you have? How many of you have been praying for whomever your pastor will be in the future? I bet a bunch of you. And it's probably not just the people on the council. It is probably those people with little children in their families. It's probably people with connected family members in the community. It's probably you praying that God's will be done as this person comes to serve again with you. That's important. So even if you don't know your spiritual gifts, when your pastor comes, he might help you with that. And you might be able to help each other, because you're probably pretty good at looking at people and knowing, man, when I speak to that person, they are so wise in Scripture. They have the gift of discernment. They have whatever it is, you're already in the process of trying to use that gift in a spiritual way for the betterment of the church. Did I mention earlier that if you're on Christ's side and you're part of that church and that community, you're already on the winning side, you're doing a good thing? Well, that's just what I want to tell you this morning, because if I'm going to help you understand a little bit about what the church says and a little bit about your coming pastor, then I think I'm going to do a good thing. Because I know there's a couple more dates in the future that I'll be asked to jump in and fill some really incredible shoes, and I'm willing to do that, but I want to encourage you to be willing to do what you're supposed to do as a part of this church, part of the outreach. I know this, too, from you guys, that numbers have been a little bit problematic, and part of it, again, is pandemic, and it looks like the sanctuary is filling up, and people are coming back, and there are people online, and bless those people who are faithful in doing that. Don't lose heart. You still have a message that will transform the lives of people, and that transformative message, by the way, I talked about a couple weeks ago in my message when I said, you know what, 3% of the people who come to know the Lord is because of a relationship they have with their minister or a pastor. It's in the higher 80% that belongs to people like you who have a relationship with a friend or a neighbor, and you speak the truth to them, and you tell them about your love for Jesus. And then their spirits are quickened, and they hear the good news of the gospel, and something inside them starts to grow and change. We talked about that this morning, the growth and the increase. God's the one who causes the increase. You be one who's willing to plant the seed. Or you be one who waters that same seed. And then you watch God work in his wonderful garden of this earth and bringing people to himself, and God will cause the increase. Because there are people in this town, people in your neighborhood, people in your families who don't know Jesus yet. And I like that word yet, because it speaks a lot about hope. It speaks about what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to communicate with people around us who haven't a clue about who Jesus is. And you know what? There might be things that the new pastor comes along and says to you as a church, can we do this differently? I've just watched us in this, and I'm thinking that this might be a better idea or direction. You're going to have to trust him on some of that stuff. Not that he's going to blow a big hole in the ceiling and have huge skylights and, you know, birds singing and flying all over the sanctuary. I don't think so. But I'm just saying there might be some things that you need to look at honestly and say, what kind of makes sense that we could change that? That's part of his gift set. That's part of his looking at a church and saying, I like what you got, but we can do things differently and better. And man, that's exactly what a pastor is supposed to do. He's supposed to help you lead and love people around you to where the kingdom of God becomes available to people in your neighborhood, in your family. So we've talked a little bit about the church, and I've looked at least Galatians and 1 Corinthians. Again, there's several letters that Paul wrote to the churches. I mean, you don't think the church is important with the New Testament? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's important. Not only in the New Testament, it's important today. It'll be important until Jesus comes back. So you and I have some really wonderful responsibilities to share in that. Well, how about this passage of Scripture? This is a little bit about what our gifts are and how your coming pastor will be able to appreciate you better is if you understand that and you're willing to learn what they are. And maybe you don't. Maybe you really don't have a clue. That's all right. Let him help you with that. There's some really wonderful things in Scripture. This is the part that talks about us and about how we relate to each other. This is Romans 12, starting with verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members not have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. I like that, just that whole grace thing. The gifts given to you are by God's grace. So in Christ we are also of many form, but one body, each member belonging to other members. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Those are gifts, and they're not all of them. There's some more that are listed in the 1 Corinthians passage of Scripture. And they're just ideas for us to look at and say, how do I help this body become better? How do I interact with you and make us stronger and better in our faith? Really, that's the big question. That's the question that needs to be answered. So I think it's important, and I don't know who God will choose to be here with you, and I don't know that you guys do either. The council's kind of looking at that, and they'll be asking questions and interviewing, and you guys will talk, and I don't know if there's a final vote that you're involved in, but definitely the people in leadership. What a neat thing, and what an opportunity for you guys to just feel like, man, that's just what we need. God, thanks, your timing is perfect. That's who we need in this place to help us to continue to grow. And I'm glad that some of you and asked the question, if you're praying for your future pastor, yep, I am. Please do that. And again, realize they're human. They are going to make mistakes. But also realize that they're people chosen by God, and that they're willing to love and to serve. And sometimes that service and love goes way into the middle of the night with phone calls or accidents or whatever. And there might just be grace that you need to give sometime. Maybe as a part of the council, you just kind of see your preacher just dogging it just a little bit. Hey, brother, you know what? I love you. It looks like you need a nap. See you tomorrow. I don't know. I'm just saying there could be that and you intertwined in their life and being involved. When I was thinking about this message, I thought, excuse me, of how I was trained. And honestly, I don't like it, because my preaching professor kind of suggested that in the church you really shouldn't have friends. And I thought, wait a minute. There are people that I love, people that my life is intertwined with. What? And I didn't get it. I didn't say anything to Dr. Brown at the time, but I've rethought that, and I've heard other people involved in ministry and teaching students in ministry, and that's probably not a great thing to think about. So there will be people that you or the pastor and his family fall in love with and have a relationship with, and that's okay. It may not be you, and you may not be his top three best friends. It's all right. Just know that he needs to have people that undergird him, people that care about him and his family and love them, and that's okay. So the whole idea of not having friends when you're involved in ministry, hey, I've had to scratch my head on that. It's like, well, I have had, and I will have friends in the church, and this person will too, and that's all right. As long as he has a relationship with people in the community that are outside the church. As long as you're engaging with him in that to bring people into the fold, into the flock that's already here. That's a great thing. That's what ministry's like. That's why you have gifts that you've been given by the Holy Spirit that you're able to serve and make this place a better place. I've been around a few people that are considered type A personalities, and my personality is such that if I'm not careful, I can really get in the nose hairs of someone that's a type A personality. And some of you understand what I'm talking about because you've looked at personality, temperament, and development. And I remember in a ministry setting, and I'll even drop names, it was somebody from Youth for Christ. I don't think I've shared this with you here, but anyway, as at my church, and she was wanting to do things a particular way, kind of her way, and I just had to put the brakes on, and I said, okay, but this is the church that I serve, and we're not doing it like that here. And there was a little bit of awkward tension, but you know what? We got through it. We loved each other, and we kept on doing ministry together. But I just had to kind of rein her in for just a little bit as far as how things were going at that particular church. Now, I think personalities and the different types are wonderful. And again, I was a little bit older person before I finally realized that my temperament can set some people off just because if I'm not careful, it's like, anyway, I won't. I just have to be, and knowing that helped me understand how I am and how I need to be with certain people, and not guarded, but I just need to be aware in order for there to be a better relationship. And the reason I say that is because this person coming in, same thing. Some of you are just going to go, holy cow, where have you been my whole life? I think you're incredible. And others will be going like, yeah, but did you notice when he preaches, he kind of stutters? Okay? There's a joke with that, and I'm going to tell it to you. This was not planned. So there's the salesman, and he sells Bibles. Have you heard this joke yet? Some of you have. Well, he goes in and gets a job, and the guy says, you know what, I'm a little bit reluctant to give you this opportunity. I think it's really important, and what we do here is we sell Bibles, and with how you are, I just don't know how that's going to go. Here's four Bibles. Come and show me tomorrow what you've done, and we'll talk about it. The guy comes back in 2 hours and says, could I get more Bibles? The boss is like, they paid you for these? Oh, yeah. They paid me what they were supposed to. No discount. Gives him more. Sells all those. The boss is just flabbergasted. He said, look, you are doing better at this than anybody I've ever seen in this company. Do you have a secret? What's your deal? What's going on? And the guy says, well, when they come to the door, I ask them if you want to buy one, or could I read it to you? I love that story because really in the church, we are different. And I think sometimes we need to celebrate that difference. I am grateful that we don't all have the same temperament, that we're not wired the same. I mean, when I was thinking of the message, I thought of Matthew the tax collector, and I thought of Simon the zealot. We talk about two opposites as far as the political field goes. The tax collector's like, dude, I work for Rome and I'll take your money. Thank you very much. And the zealot says, dude, you work for Rome. I'm going to take your taxes and beat you upside the head with it. I mean, we're talking polar opposites. Well, then you get Peter coming along and his buddies say, man, Peter, you really stink. Yeah, well, it's all in the net profits. That's all I care about. Yeah, thank you. It was a fishing joke. It was a bad one, but it was a fishing joke. But do you understand, even Jesus, when he molded together the disciples, he did not pick people that were the same. He didn't. And in the kingdom, aren't you glad he doesn't, and that we have our differences, we have our things that we do well at and things that we don't do well at? I'll just raise my hand on this one because I think it's funny. One of the first spiritual gift tests that I took as a younger man training in ministry, the gift of being a martyr was up there pretty high, which meant I would be willing to die for you or anybody for that matter. And I really probably would. If there was something that I could do to save someone or help someone, I'm probably already in, okay? So I thought that was funny. The gift of martyrdom was up there pretty high. Not in every test I've taken, but in some, and this will surprise not my sound booth guy and not the secretary because of my responsibility this week. One of my lowest, it kind of shows up on the wheel as far as not being a very good gift. I was going to say, you want to guess, but I'll just tell you. The gift of administration. I'm a visionary, and I can see things how they should be, but I don't have all the cool stuff of, well, this is what needs to happen when, and this is a good time frame, and when this doesn't happen, it should because somebody didn't do their administration? No, it is not my gift. Would you believe it, though, that I'm high on being a people person? Not a people pleaser, but a people person. From my little childhood memories, I have always enjoyed people and being around them and being with them and being a part of their world. In Europe, when my dad was stationed there and we were going around on vacation, this blonde hair caught the attention of about everybody in Europe. And they're talking to me and rubbing my head and filling my dad's vehicle with gasoline and it's running all over the floor because they're busy talking to me. And I'm like, sweet, I don't know what language you're talking, but you and I are sharing life together and it's just pretty wonderful. Woohoo! So I have that going to wag my tail to about anything kind of a thing. I do. And you know what? That's all right. And that's okay that I'm not good at administration because when I tell people that are doing ministry with me, I can say, I know that's how we need to be and where we need to go. I just don't know all the steps to get there. Can you help me with that? And you know what? It works out wonderfully well. Then somebody that has the gift of administration can say, that's a really cool vision. Let me help you with how to get that done. Woohoo! Thank you. I applaud that. Way to go. So for you guys, in the short time that I've known you, that didn't surprise anyone that I'm a people person. Not a people pleaser. There's a difference. A people person. That's never going to go away. I've probably never in my life met a stranger. And I think I was sharing with you guys, Kathy and I were in New York, and we were somewhere, and I was trying to help her remember. I was told by somebody not to look at people in their eye. Hello, that's my whole life. What am I supposed to do? I'm not going to look at the ground and kick the dirt. I look at people. I say, hello, how are you? And I always had that eyeball connection. It's just how it goes. Well, let's come back because we're almost done. We've talked about the church, and we've talked about how wonderful and how powerful that is and how that you're a part of it and that we're on the winning team. We've talked a little bit about the coming pastor and his family and what that will look like for you. And, wow, I just hope it's a great mix for you guys. I hope that the council's done a great job of interviewing and talking with people. And I know you got two that are on the docket. And you know what? God's in control of that too. He's going to help you through that whole process. And in the meantime, then Brother Dave gets to ask someone like me, Matt, can you come in and fill in for us? Well, I'll try my best. Even if I told a silly joke about stuttering, and I'll still do my best. But you know what? It's because we're a part of the family of God. It's because we're people. And I think that's important. And I think that's important for you to understand and to think about. And this is just a reminder, if you haven't prayed for your coming pastor yet and his family, do that. Pray for them. Engage with them in ministry. If you know what you're really good at and how you are gifted, be willing to share that with him. It doesn't have to be like pulling teeth. You can just say, hey, you know what, here's what I do. And he'll be able to see that. Again, you can see that in each other. You just may not be able to name it, but you can watch each other do ministry and life together, and your giftedness shows up. And that's how people in this place know that they're loved. But can I tell you something? This is a newsflash. It's not just the people that are within this building that need to know that they're loved. It's people outside of this building that really need to know that they're loved and that we can love on them and we can serve them and we'll do what we can to reach them. Sometimes, though, it's not even just, hey, you need Jesus and you're going to go to hell if you don't have him. Sometimes it's just, hey, I see that you're building a new addition to your house. Can I come and help you for a little bit? Pretty decent at painting or hanging sheetrock or the basic, whatever it is, just extend yourself to your neighbor as a neighbor and allow God to use that and to cause the increase. You just sow the seed. You don't have to knock on their door and say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus, because if you don't know him, you're going to go to hell. Because I can promise you that approach to evangelism does not work very well at all, if ever. But when you and I build relationships as a part of the team that we're on, the church that we serve, the church that we love, man, some incredible things happen. And just ask God, God, would you just open up my eyes and my ears and my heart to my neighbor that I can share with them and do something to reach them? Not because they're a project, not because they're nothing, because they're your neighbor and Jesus said, love them, care for them. Do that, be involved in their life, and you watch numbers here will start to increase. People will start to say, wow, I've come to know Jesus because of this place. How awesome is that? I mean, that's part of our responsibility. It's not just the pastor. It is on your shoulders as well. You have a great deal to offer people that are outside the kingdom, outside the church. And part of that is you just have to be a neighbor and come alongside them and love them. Well, this morning, I tried a little bit to sound like the professor that was going to be here, in that he might have given advice as far as what the church should look like and how we should be serving. I hope it's sufficient enough for you to say, you know what, Matt, I can chew on that for the rest of this week. I can be a better part of this church than maybe I have been in a long time. And if you're one of those people that have the supposed gift of complaining or grumbling, I tried to put those two together. Complaining or grumbling, remember, it's not a spiritual gift. And maybe you just need to say, God, that's kind of been me. Forgive me and move on. Or if it's maybe somebody that has ever said, well, if you don't do it my way, I'm taking my money and going somewhere else. Hopefully it doesn't happen here. It's happened in other churches I've been with. I'm just saying, man, church, we have so much to offer the world. Because they're in darkness still, and if they don't know who Jesus is, and yeah, they're still in sin, and they need to be rescued, and that is part of who we are in our outreach to them, to say, man, would you just, can I help you fall in love with Jesus? I mean, that's a pretty incredible thing. So be willing to do that. Be willing to act like the church outside of these walls, to see people who need Jesus will come to know Jesus. That's not your first priority. Your first priority is just love them as a friend and a neighbor. Let God take care of the other stuff, but be willing when times come to speak the truth that you know. You have Scripture. You have the Spirit working in you. You have Christ who conquered the grave. You have all of that. There are wonderful tools that you and I are supposed to use. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for highlighting for us in your word, Scripture, things that we can rest assured on. Father, that we have the hope of Christ that shines within us. We do have a story to tell. Father, would you help us with that? Lord, I just continue to pray for this body of believers here, that they will come to understand how they're supposed to serve one another and how they're supposed to use the gifts that you've given to us. Father, it's really not for our benefit. It's for the benefit of you and for your church. So help us to just serve in that way, to serve in how you've enabled us, in what you've given to us. God, you are kind, and your Apostle Paul wrote about grace and peace, and you're able to give that to us, not only this morning, but for our whole life. And so we just come and we thank you for giving us that grace and peace, giving us a little bit of understanding of what the church is supposed to be like, giving us hope for the future as far as coming pastor and family is concerned. Father, just strengthen this church as they're moving forward and wanting to continue to be a light in this community. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help them do all of that. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Closing song is a pretty good benediction. Maybe this week, if you see a moving truck in town, you got time, stop and say, can I help you move in? Or maybe move out, I don't know. I'm just saying there are plenty of opportunities to serve people around you. I'm a chaplain at the hospital in Sioux City. In fact, was on duty last night and got a couple calls in the middle of the night. So thankfully, I didn't fall asleep during my message. That would have been a little embarrassing, but I didn't. But somebody at the hospital knew that I was coming back on duty. And when I'm there, I just need to stay there because this town's far enough away that I just sleep there. Somebody heard or whatever, and my bed was made earlier this week when I was there. And I just thought, how cool is that? I mean, somebody was just paying attention, probably one of the nurses on the floor, I don't know, but I walked in, my bed was freshly made, and I thought, well, that's good, I don't have to sleep on that plastic mattress. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, folks, listen, there are opportunities to serve people around you, not because you have a hidden agenda, but because you already belong to Jesus, and you just want to serve. You just want to be a part of that. So that's a great song for a benediction and a great thought. Serve this week as you go out. Be the church. Be the church that is on fire still, that's relevant today, that we can look for people who need to know who Jesus is. And part of that introduction is we just get to serve them. We love them. So that would be my benediction to you. Go and serve and be in peace.
Try to even do the amens at the end if you would please help us with that.